Thank you. When he asked me to talk about mentoring younger women, I said yes, immediately, yes. We are so messing this up. And my epiphany happened for me, I don't know what it was, about 10 years ago, I guess, maybe. I had decided, before that, I had decided, older women, I have all this wisdom I need to share with you. Young people, sit down, shut up, and listen to me, kind of thinking. And so that's how I kind of went at it. And I find that a lot of the time, that's how older women do that. And I realized that didn't work. And so I kind of looked up and looked out and looked around me and became observant and started watching the needs of women. And then I went to teach, this was the 10 year ago thing, went to teach at a girls' camp for the first time, spent the whole week being the teacher. I got up thinking, this is it, this is woman of wisdom moment, I get to do this thing. And I started talking, started sharing my lesson with the girls, and I'm watching their faces, and I'm watching them go, and I started thinking, oh no, that's who I was. And I'm like, I'm not connecting with them at all. And I pulled back and reworked my material for the rest of the week and just started talking to them and started looking at them not as young people, but as friends. And it made a huge difference. And so I'm going to share with you how to reach the lives of people not your age. And actually, this goes for anyone in your life. And we tend to think, I'm an older woman because I'm retired, or I'm an older woman. You're older than someone. You're older than someone. You're an older woman. You didn't even know that, did you? No, we're older than someone. And the first thing, the first point, I'm going to give you these little points, and I have so much that I wanted to share with you. The first one is be their friend. You want to touch the lives of people? It begins with you being a friend, building a relationship with them. Anita was talking about doing good last time and talked about a young mother sitting there with her three children, and the lady, the older woman behind her, reached up and said, you need to get those kids under control, kind of thinking, kind of something, I'm paraphrasing. And how much harm, that woman never came back with her three children. And the way we're going to touch the lives of those around us, and that's our purpose. Our purpose is not, we tend to think it's, let me share my wisdom. No, our purpose is to touch their lives, to help them on their journey. Isn't that what you want? Yeah, we all want somebody to help us on our journey. So it starts with being a friend, and it's huge, and you need to hang with them. I put a post on Facebook, and I wanted to share with you some of these things, but I'm just not gonna have time to read a bunch of quotes. But I started looking at these, I reached out and said, how can I help you, women younger than me? How can I help you? What do you need from me as an older woman? And one of the main things was, hang with me. Let's go to lunch. Let's spend some time together. Let's be friends. And it's huge in their relationships. And we tend to stay in our own age groups so much. And I love, Anita, that you pointed that out. Blend your age groups, but make sure you're building friendships. Invite them into your home. Do stuff together. That's where it starts with. If you're wanting to touch the lives of somebody not your age, then you need to be a friend. The next one is you need to learn to be a listener. This is hard for a talker, but I have learned if I'm going to be in anyone else's life, to hush. And all of the time, and that's so hard for me sometimes, but when somebody comes up to me, Christy comes up to me, and she's in tears, and she's wanting to share what's going on, and she starts out by saying, I'm really struggling in my marriage, and not Christy, but I'm really struggling in my marriage, and I just, this is really hard, and let's go to God's Word. Let me take you to God's Word, and we're going to study this right now, and you and I are going to, and I take over talking. Christy was just needing to talk. She was just needing somebody to listen to her. We need to remember to be listeners. Hush. You don't have to share your wealth of wisdom all the time. They need you to listen to them. So learn to be a better listener. Spend time with them. Learn to listen to them. Let go of that. Yeah, and as women, we are so bad about this. We want to fix everything. We're going to be the mom. We're going to take care of them and pull them. Let me fix that for you. You don't have to be a fixer. Sometimes it just takes being a listener. So learn to be a listener. Let me make sure I don't drop some wonderful little nugget of wisdom I had written down here. yes. And then the next thing I want to share is to be available. Again, Anita just, my segue with her class is just awesome. Anyway, be available. This is your time. Spend time with them. We live in a very busy, busy, busy world. I get it. I have five children. Raised up five children. I now have 10 grandchildren. And my life is so busy that I forget to spend time with my grandbabies. But our younger generations, they need us. They need your time. Have them over to your house. Have that whole family. I had a woman say to me one time, they were having the young families over to their house and they were so hospitable. And then they got new carpet and she said to me, and I know my face went, she said, we won't be having the young families over anymore because we got new carpet. And I'm like, oh, I hope God doesn't burn your house down because material. Like, so, be very careful of that. Be very careful of that. Be available for them. Be there for them. Sit with them in worship. If you see somebody come in, and this goes for all generations, this goes all directions. If we're going to want to bridge this generation gap that we've got going on, if you see an older woman sitting by herself, we've got widows that have had this man in their life for multiple amounts of years, and now all of a sudden they're all alone, and their children are too busy for them. And they eat alone, and they sleep alone, and they watch television alone, and now they sit in worship alone. Be available for people. Be available. Look up. Just look up and make sure that you're sharing your life with those around you. Here's a big one, too, that the women pointed out to me, the girls pointed out to me. And when I say girls, this was all age groups. I had young girls send me some messages. I mean, not preteens, send me some messages. So be available for them. And I forgot my whole point because I walked away from my notes. What was I saying? It was so great. Oh, I know what it was. As you get older and you reach that age, don't retire from Christianity. I had a woman say to me one time, and I was probably in my 20s, and here I have this surrounded by all of these children in my life. And she said, oh, good. We just placed membership in this congregation. And she said, oh, good, good. You take over my Bible class. It's time for me to step back and let you young people do all the work. She said it to me. And I'm like, I've never taught a Bible class in my life. I'm like, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. So do not have that mindset. That's not okay. That's not okay. What we need to be doing is taking a young woman into our lives. If you are a Bible class teacher, take her into your life. Say, would you like to sit in Bible class with me? We don't always assume they know what they're doing. We want to say, would you like to sit in Bible class with me? Start with young ones. Would you like to sit in class with me and kind of watch how I do this? I could use your help, maybe hand out a tissue or something in class. But pull them in and make them a part of it. But do not retire from Christianity. That's not okay. They're begging. That was huge. And I had all these posts on Facebook and all these private messages came in. They're begging to be shown how to do some of these things. They don't know. And we assume that they know. And we judge them. We look at the younger people. They're not doing anything in the church. And they're going, this is new. I'm now adulting and I don't know what I'm doing, you know? So remember that. Take them in, be available for them and include them in their life and pull them in and help them be a part of things. Also being available for them. There's a huge, huge portion of families, young families, that don't live near family. We are a very mobile society now, very mobile. And so you have a young family come into your congregation. They don't live near grandparents. They don't live near anyone. And here you are. I am a child person. I love little kids, love them. And so now, this new phase of my life, we were in one congregation for 11 years, then we were in another congregation for 16 years, so I was not a stranger. Now I'm the creepy stranger when I walk up to small children and go, "Oh, hi, sweetie, I just love you so much." And she's looking like, "Oh, strange lady, stranger danger," you know? You have to build a relationship with them. Back to have them in your home, but being available for them, build a relationship with them so that you can be there and be that adopted grandma for them and babysit for them sometime or sit with them in worship service. Just, we're family and we need to start acting like it. This is huge for me. We're family. I was reading through 1 Corinthians this week and it was that part about in chapter 12 and 13, talking about the one another stuff and how we love one another. And we've become, Cheryl and I were talking, we've become so sterile about Christianity in the church. I'm getting preachy, sorry. Okay. But we need to make sure we're building these relationships. And then the next thing, Wayne, every time I leave the house to go do something, to go talk to women or talk to teens or whatever, he'll go, "Just be Tammy. Just go be Tammy." And that's what I learned talking to those teen girls that year was, quit preaching. Just be Tammy and talk to them. And that's who we need to be. We need to be open, genuine people. And we tend to be prideful. It hurts me when I hear an older woman say, "Well, my kids never acted like that." And I'm like, "You're old and you've lost your mind." Yes, yes, they did too, you know? So I'm like, stop it, stop it. Quit being prideful where those things are concerned. Younger generations are wanting real. That's what they're wanting. And so opening up and going, when you hear, and it's not like you have to spit your sins out everywhere you go. You don't have to be that person, and I have to remind myself of that because I tend to be really open. But I listen. It's that listening thing. And when I hear somebody saying, "My marriage is falling apart, this is going on in my marriage," I go, "Well, I've been there. I've done that." Be real. Be genuine. Be willing to open up and share with them. This person over here, "My children, I think I'm messing my kids up. I don't know if I'm a good parent." And I'm like, "We've all messed our kids up. It's okay." You know, but you give them some hope. Be real. Just be yourself. And don't, I mean, it's one thing to mentor somebody and to raise them up, and she's going to pattern herself after you because you're her mother, and you pray that there's other women in her life that she patterns herself after. That's a good thing. That's a good, but the most important thing is you be the you that God designed you to be and quit trying to be somebody else. Just be you. Quit apologizing for, "Well, unless it's sinful, push that out. That's dark. Get it out of there." But if it's your personality aspects, use that for good. God's going to pull people through your life. And so make sure you're being yourself and be yourself with younger people because they're watching for that. They want that. And then the next one is be prayerful. And don't be with that mom that doesn't seem to have any sense whatsoever and I don't know what she's doing. They don't spank their children and judge. That's not what I'm talking about. It's like, "Man, Father, put your arms around them. Give them strength. Fill them with your word. Give them some peace." You know, pray, be prayerful. And then let them know you're praying for them. But this in my life has been a life changer. When I quit doing the, "I'm going to pray for you," and I still do that, but I started doing the, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to continue to pray for you. But can we pray about that right now?" And I stop wherever I'm at, whatever we're doing. I don't stop and go, "Oh, there's a man. I can't pray with you." I go, "Come here, baby. Let's talk about this." And I pray. And it doesn't have to be anything but like three sentences. But you pray. Pray for them. Pray with them. Let them know. It shows them that you're real and that you care about them. And you need to care about them. You need to do that. So be prayerful and pray with them. Next point is be practical, not preachy. Be practical, not preachy. And I'm not saying we're dumping aside the Word of God. That's not who we are. We're people that the Word of God shapes us and forms us, and our life is a shining light of the Word of God. Younger generations are going, yes, I have one of these. I have one of these. And I know I've been reading that, but how do I do that? How do I do that? Study your Bible. Be a woman in the Word. I got 22 children. How am I going to do that? And I'm like, you know what? Here, let me give you a little nugget. You know, listen. Just listen to the Word of God, or read toddler Bibles to your children, and you're going to soak up those stories. And don't we tend to say, I don't have that hour and a half to set aside for Bible study every day. I said, nobody ever asked you to. Listen to it in the car. But make sure that when they're asking for our advice, we're telling them, you know, this is what I did. You're not me, so I don't know if this will work for you, but here's some suggestions. They want practical. That has also changed the way I teach. I am in the Word of God. If I come and do a ladies' day, I'm in the Word of God, but there are applications to the Word of God. If we're not applying it, we are the Pharisees. We are people of knowledge, and we are not living it. So make sure when they're coming to you and when you're sharing things with them, you're giving them some how-tos. That's what they want from you. They can read the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying don't talk about the Word of God, because sharing the Word of God, you see different things when you do that. But they want the practical. Down to young people, young children, they want the practical. And then to do that, you're going to have to be equipped, both biblically. What was the other one? Both biblically, and genuinely equipped. Equip yourself. If you're going through a hard thing, listen to the Word of God. Let it soak over you. Be in the Word. Let God move in your heart. Be those people. And if somebody comes up to you and they're struggling in a problem and they're going to ask you a question and you know nothing about it, just say, woo, I don't know anything about that. I don't know that experience. But I know somebody that does. Would you like their name? Now, it's not your job to go share it with somebody that you know. You say, would you like her name? Would you like her phone number? I mean, she would be genuine. Or I could introduce you if you'd like me to. You know, I could connect you if you need me to. But make sure you're being genuine and real with them, and making sure in the meantime that you are equipped. So often we think we're equipped. I thought I was equipped. This life is a journey. Stay open-minded. Stay open-minded. You may see a woman with gray hair, an older woman with gray hair, and think, she's going to have all of the wisdom I need. And she's over there going, I know nothing. I know nothing. I hope they don't ask me about that. You know? So keep that in mind, but equip yourself for those things. Be careful. Also be careful of sharing your opinion. This goes so many different directions. That opinion of your children should be, that's your opinion. My husband wouldn't, that's your opinion. Be careful of sharing your opinion. They don't want to hear it. Unless, and I've done the, they share their issue with me, here's their problem, I let them share, and then I'll go, now what would you like from me? How can I help you there? What would you like from me? And I let them tell me, because sometimes it's like, nothing. I had nobody to talk to. And I'm like, okay, I'll pray. Let's pray about it now. You can pray on the phone. If you're texting, and I do a lot of texting with women, young people, everything is through a text. And I'll say, do you have a minute right now for me to call you? Yeah, let's pray. So, but make sure that you're not sharing your opinion all the time unless they ask for it. And this goes with mamas with your children, your grown children. Unless they ask for it, they don't want to hear it. I'm telling you. And it's so much more powerful when I'll say, you're sharing that with me. Did you want my opinion? And I know they go, if I say yes. But I ask them, are they wanting input from me? It's really important. And for talkers, it's hard. Bite that tongue off. And the next one is be accepting, not judgmental. I don't care what it is. It's why nobody goes forward in the church. I don't know why we do it. Nobody goes forward in the church because nobody's going to walk down that aisle and have everybody stare at them. Our prayer requests, we have prayer requests, and it's, oh, I'm getting so preachy. And it's all about the sick and the traveling. It's nothing genuine because we can be so judgmental. You need to step back, always step back. Especially if you don't know the young woman very good. If you've watched her grow up, you kind of know her journey. But if you haven't, you don't know what has shaped her, informed her. I'll watch these teen girls come through camp, and they'll come in some dressed like hookers, and I'm like, oh. You know? And I have to step back and go, she doesn't know. Not my job to point out the fact first time, hello, my name is Tammy Roberts, you're dressed like a hooker, did you know that? Not my job. Not my job. So I built a relationship and I love on them and shine Jesus and shine Jesus. And I try not to ever dress like a hooker, you know? It's like maybe, just maybe. And then when they're ready and they ask, I can share with them. I can share with them. But make sure that you're not judgmental, because the minute you judge them, the minute you put that out there, you're done. They're not going to listen to you anymore. And it's not their fault. And we do that all the time. Young people just don't want the truth. Young people, they just, you know, they don't want to listen. And I watch those posts and I have to control myself. And I don't always. Because they start up, well, the young people, I find that the young women just don't want anything from the older women. And I'm like, oh, I know who you are. Be so careful of that. Don't be judgmental, because the minute you are, you shut them out. You don't know their journey. Even if you know their journey, they're not you. They're not you. And for you to make a difference in their life, you're going to have to take them under your arm, even if they're telling you something that you're going, you did what now? Don't say that. Take them under your arm and go, oh, honey, you must be really hurting. This must be so hard for you. And love on them and help them through that. But don't judge them or you're done. That's got to stop. Criticism is pushing our young people away. We wonder why they're leaving now the church. It's because we've judged them for so long. Okay, so make sure that you are the person that they can come to confess their sins to. Because we are commanded to do that. Confess your sins to one another. Do you have anybody in your life that you can do that with besides your spouse? Can you do that with your spouse? Do you have anybody in your life? We need those people. Those are special people. That's family stuff. And we need to build that. We need to be doing that. The next one is be open. But that's what I've been talking along all along. Be yourself. Share yourself. Put your pride aside. I already covered that. Be prepared to, be prepared to change your way of thinking. As you're pulling in younger generations, whatever generation it might be, you're pulling in these younger generations. We're wanting them to serve in the church. We're wanting them to be a part and to do things in the church. And so they step in and they do something in the church and it's like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not the way we've always done it. And it's like, bam, she's done. Or she comes up all excited. You know, I was an intern in this congregation for the summer, and you know, they did this. I would like to try that here. Do you think that would be a good idea?
We tried that in 1972, and that didn't work here.
I'm like, oh, stop it. Stop it. We need to encourage them and be open. They're so creative, and they're bringing in this new way of thinking. I'm not talking doctrine. They're bringing in this new way of thinking, and if we don't change some of these traditional things that we're stuck in, no wonder we're dying. That part and the family love thing, we're smothering ourselves. And so we need to make sure we're doing that for them and be open and not be so shutting them out where that. Be open. Change your way of thinking. But I told a group of women, I met with a group of women here a few weeks ago and talking about their women's ministries. And I'm not there. And so they said, here's what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And what do you think? And I went, do you really? Do you really want to know? And they said, yeah, we really want to know. And I went, well, put on your big girl panties because it's time to hear. And I did. So put on your big girl panties if you're going to want to change your way of thinking. And then be positive. Good grief, who are we? We belong to Jesus. Be positive people. I can tell you right now, as a young one, I have flashes of faces go through my mind of these women that were always like, oh, how are you this morning? Oh, boy, singing was horrible. I could barely stay awake. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. How do I get out of this conversation? You know, it's like, be positive. When they're coming up and they're sharing things with you, you are already this positive little bubble that is going, and that may not be your personality. It's okay. You need to fix some of that. You need to be, why don't we smile? My challenge in an airport is I walk through being the creeper. And Wayne is like, what are you doing? I'm like, I may be the only smile they get today. And he goes, yeah, but don't make it a crazy one. But be positive people. Be joyful. Do that for them. Be positive. And when they share things with you, make sure that you're lifting them up. Make sure you're not shooting them down. Make sure you're being positive. And then the big one here on my list, and I've got notes that I'm going, what does that even mean? Be encouragers. Be encouragers. Social media is also hurting the church. Quit posting your trash on Facebook. Quit it. And I don't mean we have to be fake. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. Not at all. But we need to make sure we're lifting people up. I'll see somebody post something and I'm like, that's not how I think about that at all. That's not how I think about that at all. I don't get on there and go, you are a moron for posting that on Facebook. Why? And they do. It's that because we're not seeing each other face to face anymore, they think they can say anything. You need to make sure as a Christian that it's lifting them up, whatever. Or don't say anything at all. But be encouragers. Make sure you're doing that. I need to stay over here by these notes because I want to make sure I cover that. Make sure, I watched all these posts of these younger generations than me, younger than me. And one of the things they said, so many of them said, was I feel like I'm not enough. I feel like I don't know what to do. I just feel like it's not me. I can't serve. I don't know how. And I'm like, whoa. We need to be those people that when we see great things in people, my Christy is one of those people in my life. I met Christy. She came to a Come For Your Cup retreat, and she knew no one when she came. Christy is now Come Fill Your Cup. It's like, look at this talent this woman has. And public speaking was not her thing. Oh, it is her thing. So find them, and when you see great things in them, tell them. You tell them what you see. You know, I saw you the other day with the little kids. I love that. Love that about you. I was at a girls' camp this summer and had the girls take a puzzle piece and on the puzzle piece write words of what they loved. Who are you? What do you love? Not what do you look like? Who are you? And one, you know, they were all different. That was impressive too. It was when we put the puzzle together, no two pieces were alike. And they all had these different things. And I said, God did that on purpose. And so we need people pulling that out of us. We tend to not know who we are. Isn't that silly? Well, first of all, we're chicken. We're afraid to try anything else. We all sit back and go, I'm not good at that, I'm not good at that. We think we're being humble. God is your creator. Yeah, he is your creator. So when you see things, make sure you're that encourager that pulls those things out in them and voices those things. Make sure you're doing that. And keep in mind, teenagers are getting criticized all the time. All the time. They're criticized continually. Make sure when they come across your path that you're praising them for something, that you're lifting them up, that you love on them. Make sure you're doing that. Whatever way, whatever is your way, my way is creepy and overpowering. But they've adjusted to that, most of them. But make sure you are who you are, but make sure you're lifting them up. Single women, as you're watching these younger generations and these single women come through, quit saying, oh, God's got someone special in store for you. We're wanting to be encouragers. We are. That's what we're wanting to do. Instead, start going, man, you know what I see in you? This is that time of your life. You have no responsibilities. I see you using this. You could go here. You could go there. Start pointing out these positive things for them. They need encouragement. Not, well, you know, down the road, when you are married and have children, you're going to do great things. And they're all going, oh, so I'm nothing now? I'm not enough now? Yes, you are. And we need to be telling them that. You are enough right where you're at. You are powerful. So make sure we're doing that for single women. Back off the working mothers. I don't know how else to put that. Back off of them. They're dying. They're hurting. I know who I have been. I know the journey I've been on. I've been a judgmental woman, and I have asked forgiveness for that in so many people that I've come across. And now I'm watching all these younger women and their career path, or they're having to work, or whatever it might be. Quit judging them. They need encouragement too. They need it really, really bad. They're hurting, especially if they are leaving their children in daycare and going to a job. That's hard for them. Don't judge their choices. Lift them up. Just lift them up. Encourage them. Find a way to include them, because their life is so full. Oh, so full and so heavy that they feel like they don't have any other connections in their life. It needs to be you. Take them a meal. Say, I knew you'd be coming home late tonight. I bought two pizzas for you. Here you go. Be careful of doing that to strangers. If a stranger brought me a pizza, I'd be going, no, thank you. That was so nice of you, trash. But make sure you're taking care of them. Make sure you're watching for that. Give them a gift card. I had one woman post on there all of these practical things. Give a working family a gift card. You think their life is just so full. Babysit for them so they can have time, because when they come home at the end of the day, now they're going to be parents too. Their marriages are hurting too. They're just be aware. Just be aware. Be encouragers. Let me see. Oh, younger people. Empty nesters are hurting. Empty nesters are hurting. And if you are older than empty nesters and are still alive, you need to be watching them go through this process and and let them know what that felt like for you. Because they're in a place where their house had been this hubbub of joy and laughter or chaos, whatever it might have been, and now it's quiet. Be the young family that goes, can we come over tonight and play games? Or would you like to come over tonight and play games? And they're going to go, thank you. So make sure you're aware of that, taking care of each other's needs. Be encouragers. Okay, I said that. I mentioned the younger women looking for ways to serve and being an encourager and pulling them into a Bible class. I had a wonderful woman in my life when I was a young woman. We were at Bear Valley at that time. Wayne wasn't a preacher. This was before that. And the woman had watched me. I had no idea who I was at that point. And she said, she was one of the elders' wives, and they were coordinating all the women's ministries. And she goes, I'd like you to come and be a part of us as we put these things together. I would like your input on that. And I'm like, me? And she says, yeah, I see that in you. I see a leadership kind of role in you. Well, I didn't know that's who I was. I knew I was a talker, and I wasn't afraid to stand up and talk. And she pulled me in, and she showed me how to do things, and she showed me how to plan a ladies' retreat. And then she went, now it's yours. And she never looked back. She never went, and it's yours, and this is the way I would like you to do it. She didn't do that. She showed me. I followed in her footsteps for a while, and then she went, now it's yours. Go for it. We need a change. Be that person for a younger woman. Take her in and show her. Would you like to follow me? Would you like to help me plan this? I'm not saying I need you to do all the work, but would you like to know how that goes, how we've done that before? Because we need to do a refreshing. We need something different and be willing to wipe it clean and start over. But be an encourager. Okay, when they do try something new, encourage them. They're going to try something new. Don't step back and give the negative feed. And after it happens, and one of the things that I have learned to tell people as they're planning something new and they're afraid nobody's going to show up, mine is, who cares who shows up? If three people come and benefit from that, then it was a good thing. Quit counting numbers. If it's a good idea, it's a good idea. Do it. Go for it. And then I encourage them. Then you talk about it. Oh, we had a wonderful time last night. Be careful of going, and you weren't there. Just make sure you talk about it and let them know this was so great. But make sure you're encouraging them. Make sure you're doing that. Where is my time? Okay. The next one is you need to be love. You need to be love. That's what you need to be. Go study love throughout Scripture and see. There's so many. But the 1 Corinthians, where it starts out, that chapter on love, it says, he's been talking about doing these things for one another, doing these things for one another, and you start the chapter out and he says, and if you're doing really good things, this is Tammy's paraphrased version, if you're doing all these really good things and you're doing them without love, he says it's useless. It's worthless. If I'm teaching a Bible class, and I'm a great Bible class teacher, but I'm just checking it off the list, people know if you love them. They know if it's genuine. You need to be love. Be people of compassion. We want to be people like Jesus. Be people of compassion. It's back to the judgmental thing. Just make sure that you're loving people and that you're being that. Go look at the 1 Corinthians 13, the love is patient, love is kind. Remember, we're all on different journeys. We just all are. And for me, I watch and I think, oh, my life is so hard right now. This is just so hard. My children, this is so hard. And then I cross the path and I open myself up to somebody else. And I'm like, oh, I am so blessed. I don't want that problem, that poor woman. So everybody's on a different journey. And when we open ourselves up and we truly love them, it doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter who has money and who doesn't. And we kind of do that too. I can't have anybody over. I don't have any money. Anyway, you have popcorn and you have a room. You know, surely you have a room. Even if you're living in your parents' basement, you have a room. But make sure you're showing love. You're sharing your life with people. Make sure you're doing that. And be careful of thinking, judging their faith. That's part of being love. Be careful of judging their faith. Doesn't matter their age, even their background. My children were raised in the church. My children were raised and taught and brought up, and I have two that are not living that at all. But I love them. Love does not change. God's love does not change. We have to quit seeing sins and seeing flaws and seeing problems and see people and love them. And that, I can't even reinforce how big this is. We need to be people that are love. That's who we need to be. Jesus says, people are going to know you by the way you love one another. And so when somebody describes you, do they say, oh yeah, and she just loves? Do they describe you that way? I don't care if you're extrovert, introvert, bubbly or not. Do they see love in you? And we need to fix that. We need to fix that. We need to be the people that God has called us to be. And when we are that, that makes a difference with younger generations. And I go back to be a friend. That's what it starts with. I have friends. I hate when I say young people because I sound so old. So I have friends of all age groups. I have friends all age groups. Abby's my friend. Abby's younger than my children. I have friends that are still in middle school. They're my friends. They're my friends. We need to quit looking at peer groups and, oh, she's in her 30s. Okay, all right. Young person. You know, stop it. Just be a friend. Be a friend to them. In your congregation, as you're as you're doing this and you're wanting to mentor, you're in your congregation, wipe it clean, step back, and ask your young people, what do you need from us? What do we need to be doing here? What do we need to be doing here to meet our needs? This is family talk. This is family talk. How can I help you? What can we do? Well, we have ladies' Bible class every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We've done it for 400 years, and everybody that's not there is going to hell. So I'm like, whoa. Be careful of that. Be careful of judging on that. Step back, wipe it clean, and go, what do we need to do for us here now? And be willing to next year go, whoa, that didn't work. Let's try this. What do we need? So open yourselves up. Talk to them. Ask them. It's one of the first things I do when I go in a congregation. What do you need from me? What do we need to be doing? So ask them in your congregation. Quit just existing and be family. So have a meeting with them and wipe it clean. Be willing to talk about it. Be willing to talk about it realistically. In your women's ministries, make sure you're combining all the age groups. If you have things going on, be careful of pushing out the woman that's done it for 400 years, and we need to pray about her, because if she's not willing to step back and pull in a young person to help her, that's a heart problem. I don't want her to lose her work in the church. I don't want that. That's not what I'm saying. But she needs to be willing to pull in a young person and go, okay, I'm ancient. I need you and your input. How can we do this? I'm willing to put it aside what we've been doing. What do we need to do here? So every ministry that you have going on in your church should have older women and younger women combined working on those things. I heard a church that they have an old ladies' Bible class and a young women's Bible class. And I'm like, you're hurting each other. You're hurting each other. Quit having an attitude, wipe it clean, start over, and figure out how to make it work. Now, I get it. Some of the older women can meet
during the day. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Be careful of a heart issue. Make sure that you're open to going, okay, the young women can only meet at this time in the evening so that dad can watch the kids or whatever. So I'll go pick up a handful of the women that don't drive at night so that we can all be together and we can learn from each other. But make sure you're open to those things. But have different age groups, and then make sure you're planning in your activities in your congregation. One of the things we've done in the church that has hurt us the most is we've peer grouped it. I get that. We need each other. We need, when we're in the same age, going through the same things. But we've almost done it so much where it's harmful. And we need to start making sure we're doing things together, combining those age groups. If you're having a game night, you invite a couple of older couples. Now, you're going to have to start it a little earlier. It's all right. And then the young people can stay longer. But make sure you're doing some of those things. Include all the age groups. Pull them together. We are not going to fix this bridge that we've got going on by spending less time together. It can only be fixed if we love each other and we build relationships with each other. And for me, that's exciting. I'm tired. I am a people person. I love you. And I say that genuinely. I don't even know most of your names. But I love you. And I love the church. And we need to be who we're supposed to be. And I need young people in my life. I need this energy in my life. And I need this creativity in my life. And I need this wisdom in my life. So we need to be connected. And you don't wait for somebody to come to you. Quit doing that. You go build relationships. Just go build relationships. You will be blessed. God will rain blessings down on you. Thank you very much. I'm done. But I have my list of quotes if anybody wants to come look at it. So